Then Colt spotted a group of Indians up on a butte, watching them. He couldn't be sure which band they were from or which reservation they'd come off of, but they sure enough were Indians of one sort or another, and rarely was it good to encounter Indians in such country.
We got company.
Where?
On that butte yonder.
Who are they?
Cheyennes, most likely. Or Sioux. Or maybe even Blackfoot. Too far away to tell, but if they're a bad bunch, their arrows will sting just the same, and so will their bullets.
I thought all the Indians were tamed.
Son, you're never going to completely tame an Indian. You might kill him or lock him up. Might get him used to that government beef, but you're never going to tame him.
So what do we do?
For now, we just keep riding along and see if they do anything. But if I tell you to spur it, you spur it, and run for those foothills. And hope to the Lord Jesus Christ we get there before they do.
Bo scanned the butte, counted a half dozen of them. They sat like statues for a time.
You think they'll come after us?
Hard to know what an Indian's thinking. They might, and they might not. Just keep riding as if they're not there.
The little band disappeared again, and when they reappeared, they were standing their horses directly in front of Cole's and Wilson's path, blocking further progress. Cole could see how ragged they were, half-starved looking so that their ribs showed. They wore no war paint, nor were their horses decorated for battle.
Now what?
Now we parlay.
One who looked like the leader wore a faded blue officer's coat, and another wore a top hat with a turkey feather in it. The rest wore plain calico shirts and wrinkled trousers. They were barefoot and dirty. The one in the army coat heeled his horse forward to meet them. The others followed.
We going to fight?
No, not unless they start something first.
Might be a bit late then.
If it's gonna be too late, it's already too late.
Cole noted the beads of sweat dotting the boy's face.
Easy, boy. Don't make any sudden play.
Wilson relaxed the hand that rested near his gun butt.
What can we do for you fellas?
He figured they'd toss some sign language at him.
Hmm.
Bluecoat pointed with his nose at their horses.
No.
Cole shook his head for emphasis. Then Bluecoat pointed back in the direction they'd just come. Top Hat had come up alongside Bluecoat.
You come. You doctor, you come.
I ain't no doctor. Neither is this one.
You come.
The other four watched with baleful stares.
Make medicine.
Bluecoat brought his pony nose to nose with Cole's Gruya and pointed again.
Hmm.
Cole nodded.
Okay, we come. Lead the way.
Sure as hell we're not gonna go with them.
Sure as hell we are.
How do we know they're not leading us into an ambush to kill us?
They wanted to kill us, they would have tried by now.
They rode 3 miles to a small camp of half a dozen teepees along the bank of a twisting creek. Those encamped came out to stare at the returning band and their white visitors.
What are they saying? Are they laughing at me?
Relax. They're just glad to see a pretty white boy like you.
Cole grinned, enjoying the tough youth's sudden trepidation. Bluecoat stopped his pony in front of one of the teepees, its outer hide smudged with smoke stains and daubed with painted circles for good luck. Top Hat slid off his own mount.
Come! You come!
Stay mounted.
Cole dismounted and handed Wilson his reins. Wilson looked about him nervously as the encamped people closed in around him, staring. Cole entered the teepee behind Top Hat and Bluecoat. Bluecoat pointed at an old woman lying on her back against the far wall, a hag of a woman with witch-like white hair and blind white eyes.
You medicine man, fix.
I'm not a medicine man.
Cole remembered the medico in the wedding dress and wig.
Hell, maybe I'm not, but I damn sure best make an effort to see what ails her.
He went and kneeled by the woman. Her jaw was swollen. Cole reached into the fire ring in the center of the tent and took a stick and caught flame to it and brought it close to the old woman's face.
Easy, mother. I'm just gonna have a look in your mouth.
He lifted her head. Top Hat and Bluecoat stood over him, watching intently. Cole eased her mouth open and held the flame close to see in. He smelled the problem almost before he saw it. A rotted tooth. It obviously hurt.
Damn.
He eased the woman's head back down. He made sign language as best he could to indicate the problem with her.
You fix.
I'm no doctor, much less a dentist.
Cole shook his head and shrugged his shoulders.
Fix!
Cole was momentarily at a loss, then remembered the whiskey for medicinal purposes as well as recreational purposes he always carried, now tucked down in his saddlebags. Or at least he hoped it still was there, and that woman hadn't found it and hidden it on him.
All right. Yes.
What's going on?
Hold your water.
Bottle in hand, he went back inside and kneeled by the crone again. He pulled the cork and tipped the bottle to her mouth.
Easy, old girl.
Fire water.
Soon as she had some of the whiskey down, Cole fed her more. It continued like that until her moaning stopped. Then he fed her still more, until the whole pint was just about gone, and with it, so was she, at least from the conscious world. Once passed out, Cole opened her mouth again, took out his clasp knife, and opened a blade.
Huh?
Cole turned to Top Hat.
Me fix, yes?
Top Hat nodded.
You fix.
Cole pointed.
Fire. Bring close.
Top Hat knew enough to bring a stick of flame near to the old woman's open, fetid mouth, to where Cole could see in clearly. Luckily, the rotted tooth was near the front. Cole wiggled it with his fingers. It wobbled easily enough. He tried pulling it with just his fingers, but it was rooted on one side. He used the blade of his knife to pry it out. It came out easier than he could have hoped, and he handed the bloody thing to Top Hat. Then he spilled some of the last whiskey in her mouth to wash and sterilize the wound before putting the tip of his knife into the fire till the blade turned red hot. He touched the hot blade to the hollow just briefly, enough to cauterize the wound. The old woman jerked when he touched her with that hot blade.
Easy, mother.
And quickly enough, she was snoring again. Cole stood up and held out the last few drops in the bottle to Bluecoat. The Indian slugged it down and smacked his lips, no longer looking gruff and mean as a bear.
I fix.
Top Hat looked pleased, and they went out again. Top Hat signaled for Wilson to get down. Wilson looked toward Cole.
Get down.
I don't much like this.
Well, we're into it now, no matter what it is.
Wilson dismounted. A young boy came and took their horses after Top Hat gestured to him.
Hey!
Come, eat!
He made gestures with his fingers, lifting them to his mouth.
Guess we're staying for supper.
Long as we ain't supper.
Cole nearly laughed at the absurdity. They were served in wood bowls, a stew of some sort with meat and wild onions and carrots and potatoes, the gravy thick and dark brown. They ate with wooden spoons, and Wilson was surprised at how good the stew tasted.
It's actually pretty good. What's in it?
Most likely dog. Or more accurately, dog puppies.
Are you kidding me?
Well, they serve young dog only to honored guests. You ought to feel privileged.
Well, I hardly do, that's for damn sure.
Cole spooned out the last of his bowl.
You want more?
Wilson turned green and wiped his fingers off on his pants legs.
No, thanks.
But Top Hat nodded to the girl serving, a very pretty girl, and she ladled more dog stew into Wilson's bowl.
Careful.
You insult them, and they're liable to lift your hair.
Wilson swallowed the lump in his throat, then slowly, grudgingly, ate more. But slowly, very slowly.